Steve Olson, Executive Director of Midwest Poultry Federation and Minnesota Turkey Growers Association.
Steve, let's begin with your reaction to the news last week that a case of low-path avian influenza was confirmed in Missouri.
That's not surprising. We expect avian influenza to show up as birds start to migrate, and the fact that it showed up there means that our testing protocols are working, and they caught it and were able to deal with it.
Anything significant about the strain that was confirmed there? Obviously low path better than high path, but any case of avian flu, I think, has to get everyone's attention.
It certainly does, and this was an H7 strain, and that's one of those that, as you mentioned, low pathogenic means that it's of concern, but in particular, there's two strains, H5 and H7, that when they're low pathogenic, we are more concerned because they have the potential or they have a history of being able to mutate and become high path, which is increases its ability to be infectious and harm birds. And so the fact that it's H7 is of concern, but again, it's a low pathogenic. They caught it. Our surveillance systems are working, and so it worked the way it was supposed to work.
It sure seems like the reaction and the way that these cases are now handled. I mean, it's immediate, and the quarantine covers miles, and it just seems like, based on the learning experiences of the 2014 and 15 outbreak, that the industry is in a far better place.
It certainly is. I think we learned a lot 3 years ago, but we've also had programs in place for a good 10, 11, 12 years. And in Minnesota, avian influenza is something that, because we're in the flyway for the wild birds, we have seen influenza for the last several decades. So it's something that we're familiar with, but as far as the rest of the country goes, I think everybody's on a higher level of response when they get those strains, those H5 and H7 strains, which again are not common, and they're not in them of themselves cause for alarm, but it's something that we do want to stay ahead of.
Would you say this is one of those high alert times of the year, thinking about migration and right now those birds coming north from, say, now that they're in Missouri, they're going to continue to fly towards the upper Midwest and Minnesota. So this stretch of time here, Steve, pretty important, right?
Spring and fall, when the birds start to migrate, the wild birds start to migrate, in the springtime when they migrate from Mexico and other southern locations up north through Minnesota into Canada, and of course some of those will end up residing in Minnesota over the summer. This is also a brooding area for them, so this is where they'll have their young and they'll hatch their eggs. And anytime we've got those wild bird movements, that increases the likelihood for any kind of a disease transmission, specifically avian influenza. And so we are on higher alert within our farms, and they are, they're doing the normal flock checks, but they're also looking and doing some additional sampling in order to detect any kind of exposure to any kind of a influenza virus.
Anything else on avian flu?
I think something that came out of the 2013 or 2015 high path avian influenza is that industry and USDA have worked together to come up with what we call 14 biosecurity principles, and so farms are in the process of implementing those and have implemented those, and actually entities like the Minnesota Board of Animal Health are doing audits of those farms. So they're doing paper audits to review their records, and then those farms are using that to kind of as an evaluation of where they're at and what they still need to do to maximize their biosecurity. Again, not only does this help prevent avian influenza infections, but it also helps keep those birds healthy from other potential diseases.
Well, and as we kind of transition into what's planned for the poultry convention this week in Minneapolis, we spend so much time talking about avian influenza. What are the other disease threats that are in existence right now for poultry producers, turkey growers?
Yeah, there's a number of diseases that we are taking a look at that we have incidents in. This is a good meeting because we get researchers together, we get industry technical people together, we can talk about what's going on in the field, what kind of research is being done, but also what questions still need to be answered. And so it's a give us the ability to refine, and ultimately, our goal is to keep flocks healthy, and we're looking for ways to do that. But the other thing that the Midwest Poultry Federation Convention does is it's an opportunity for poultry farmers from across the country, because we will draw poultry farmers from all parts of the United States as well as several foreign countries. And it's an opportunity for them to learn the latest best management practices, have a chance to learn and talk about the latest technologies and what it's going to take to implement those on those farms. And then the networking piece, and the networking, not only from a social aspect, but from talking to other farmers about, you know, what they're doing, you know, when they face some kind of a challenge, ventilation or heating or whatever the case might be, you know, what have they done to improve their farm business? And that networking is really valuable.
When you look at farm incomes, we've seen a rally in corn and especially soybean prices the last month or two. And as somebody that feeds birds, that probably tightens those margins a little bit. So will that be addressed during the convention?
Yeah, you're right that the feed prices are, it's 2/3 to 3/4 of the cost of raising a bird, you know, whether it's turkey, broiler, or egg layer. And yeah, so increase in input costs are certainly a concern and certainly will be something that will be talked about. You know, given the supply across all three of those poultry sectors over the next, you know, next several months to a year or so, we're gonna have tight margins. And because the supply of protein out there is not in balance, and hopefully that turns around sooner rather than later to, you know, increase profitability.
Yeah, many segments of agriculture are very concerned about the ongoing trade uncertainty, whether it's the North American Free Trade Agreement. There's also talk about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and will the U.S. get back into that in negotiations with China now that there are tariffs in place, and will we see retaliation? So I know for poultry, there was uncertainty going back to 2015 with the avian flu outbreak and some of those export markets that closed their doors to U.S. products. So this is not a new issue for the industry, looking at trade and the impact of those relationships. But now with all these other factors going on, Steve, what's the talk of the industry right now?
You know, as you've articulated, you know, trade is very important to us. When you look at the broiler sector, about 20% of broiler production in the United States is exported to foreign markets. Turkeys, it's anywhere that 12 to 15%. And layers has increased to, you know, probably about 5% of the egg production in the United States is exported. So those are very important parts of our market, and there's a number of factors that go into that. So NAFTA has been a huge value to poultry producers because of the amount of product that we send to Mexico specifically. But also as we look at others, you know, ultimately what we want is market access to be able to compete on a level playing field. Getting some of these trade negotiations done is going to be very important to us, and so we're watching those closely. We're having conversations with our congressional delegation and others that are involved in those with our national organizations as well as some other export organizations that we work with, and it's just kind of emphasizing the importance of getting those deals worked out to keep those markets open for us.
What would some of the other central themes of the convention this year be?
You know, the implementation of technology, there's a lot of new gadgets out there. Our trade show has doubled in the last 10, 11 years. And so with that, we've seen an increased number of vendors that are looking to be able to interact with poultry farmers. And likewise, the poultry farmers are looking for a chance to see what the latest technology is, from, you know, computer systems to help run and monitor birds to animal health products, to feed and nutrition equipment, as well as the latest in feed information. To, again, ultimately the goal is to help keep birds healthy.
What does the schedule for the convention look like this week?
Well, we've got some ancillary groups that we work with that have started meetings yesterday. We're getting into a full swing of education sessions, and we've got a number of ancillary groups that are having board meetings and that type of thing today, and then we'll have a welcome reception this evening, and then the trade show opens tomorrow. We've got education sessions in the morning on both Wednesday and Thursday, and then the trade show until 4 o'clock each day. And we've also added a student career program, because like other parts of agriculture, we have a lot of job opportunities for people, and so we're increasing opportunities for students to increase their awareness of those career potential, but also for them to interact with potential employers, either for internships or for full-time employment. And so that's something we're pretty excited about, because it's an added feature that our members have been looking for, as well as connecting students with great career opportunities.
What would be the best website to go to for people that want more information on the convention?
Yeah, that's midwestpoultry.com. is our website, and they can find out information on the education sessions that we have, as well as the exhibitors are here and the show floor hours and other events that are taking place.